Damn it! Hang on. Hello, good evening. Welcome to season 12, episode 5 of Let's Have a Fifi. Sorry for the little bit of a rough start there. The video, like the intro video would play and then it would stop and then it was like, it's fine. We got there in the end. We are good. Welcome to your Wednesday night conversation. I am not Felicia Fifi Minor. I know it's very hard to tell. Under the makeup could be anybody really, but it is not Felicia. Felicia is off doing God knows what at this point. No idea. Could be anything. Work, something. No idea. She said it was work. Could be, could not be. I don't know.
She's under a level bridge terrorizing kids. Right.
She's under Tempe Town Lake. Just, yeah. But... and not as a replacement, but say as an addition, I have with me this evening the one and only Rita Bain, who is going to be our guest slash co-host. She's our first guest of season 12. Yay!
Whoop. Thank you guys for having me. I am also not Felicia Minor, and I am sorry for that.
Correct. In case anybody was wondering, neither of us are Felicia Minor. You can, if you would like to, get some extra stuff on our Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/letshaveafifi. I was able to catch up on one of the after show chats. There wasn't a lot of editing involved because it was just sort of a long rant. It's fine. If you don't listen to it, it's totally all right. I get it. Totally understand. I'm going to try and make the... It's fine. You'll be fine. But there is all sorts of exclusive content that happens there. And of course, after this, we will have our after show chat with Rita. So that will be on there as well. We would like to thank our patrons, Brandon, Chris and Michelle, D, Drake Jensen, Casey Starr, Carrie and Corey, Kim, Joan, Leanne, Nicole, and Shannon. Special thanks to Wigs of a Kind for supporting us this season. I am once again not wearing a Wigs of a Kind wig, but I was wearing a Wigs of a Kind wig this weekend. Massive fucking mohawk. It was pretty awesome.
It was pretty awesome.
Thank you. And a big thank you to Guido Martin and Laura Renfro for supporting us this season. And happy birthday, Laura. I know today is your birthday. If you would like to send us a tip or sponsor us, you can do so at paypal.me/letshaveafifi. And we also have this new, where is it? Oh, there we go. Right there. Look at that. There's a QR code right there that you can scan and send us dollars should you want to. And also, this is all Felicia, so if you don't get anything, this is on her. If you text LHAF to 602-730-7379, in theory, you will get information and texts from Felicia about upcoming shows and things. I cannot confirm nor deny any of that. I have nothing to do with that. So I'm not responsible for any content that you may or may not receive from Felicia Minor if you text that number. And if you're on the Facebook, oh, Felicia is joining us in the chat. That's always super helpful. Thanks, Felicia. If you are on Facebook and you want to click the little stars button, we get like 9 cents or something for like per 20 or 50 stars. I don't know. It's whatever. We appreciate the support regardless. So, all right. Now we can actually get on to the things. Oh, nope. Let's go away. We got this. All right. I'm fine. Nope. Why is the clicker? There we go. All right. We're fine. We got this. It's been a while. I haven't had to do this in a second. So, Rita, how was your weekend?
My God, I feel like I did like a drag marathon. I was in two cities. I did a bunch of events starting on Friday. I was in Tucson with you at Wild Wild West Steampunk Convention. We did a fabulous heroes and villains drag and burlesque show for It was so much fun. It was so good. And I can't wait for the next one. And then on Saturday, I was at Miss Gay Melrose America, as well as the Melrose Street Fair. I was at the Your Health and Wellness booth. If you are in Phoenix, I highly encourage you to go see them. They're an LGBTQIA plus owned and operated primary care doctor. They do gender affirming care, sexual health and wellness, aesthetics for the filler girl. So they do a little bit of everything, and they're great. And then I end my weekend on Rita's Foundation at for their annual bake sale using items. So it was. Great weekend.
You'll notice that Rita's connection is a little bit sketchy this evening. I think she forgot to feed her hamsters, but it's okay. We here at Let's Have a Fifi are very familiar with interwebs issues. It's been a while since Felicia has broken the internet. We will just blame this on her. It'll be fine. You had a busy weekend. I had a busy weekend. The weekend was busy. So, as Rita mentioned, we had Wild Wild West Con over the weekend. Friday was the show, but so let me just say that the whole weekend before Con, I was dying. I was so sick from whatever plague the children decided to bring home at that time. It was the plague du jour, as it were. I swear to God, fucking terrible. And by the time we left for Tucson, I was feeling better. But then and now, I don't know, y'all can probably still hear, I am still like clogged, sinusy, chest stuff. And it feels like there's like a wad of phlegm that's sitting right here. So I basically spent the entire con clearing my throat. That was super fun for me. I blame long COVID. Because right now, it doesn't matter if I get even a little bit of something that is like respiratory in nature. It's something that might be done for most people within 24 hours. With me, it's going to last 6 months because why the fuck not? So fucking stupid. but the show on Friday was spectacular. We had amazing performers. That crowd, oh my God.
The best.
There was a couple of times I was standing backstage. I was waiting to go on and I was trying to talk to one of our bridge crew, and I couldn't hear a fucking thing they were saying because the audience was so damn loud. They were living. All weekend, we just kept hearing how much fun they had, how good the show was. There were a couple of little, like, snafus that caused us to get a late start. And anybody that knows me knows that I don't run on drag time. If I say the show starts at 7, it might start at 7:05. There is no drag time for me. I don't do drag time. That's not how I work. So the fact that we got a late start, thankfully, I think that the con directors and everybody understands that that late start was not our fault. We were ready to go. There were other factors that had nothing to do with us that caused us to have a late start. But other than that, oh my God, the show was, it was amazing. Our MCs, of course, were Madame Askew and the Grand Arbiter, and they always do such an amazing job. And it was so good. And I couldn't be happier and more proud of what I was able to produce and bring to the show, the con this year. So I was super excited. But basically since like last Wednesday, my whole life has been con related. We got to Tucson Wednesday afternoon. We had dinner with friends Wednesday night, which was lovely. My look for Friday during the day was steampunk Star Trek, or Steam Trek as people call it. And I just want to wear this outfit 24/7. I had a custom Blonde Swan crush cap and a Madame Askew original corset vest. Just, oh my God. Like, I just wanted to wear this all the time. I just want to wear oh my God. We did Captain Hook and Tinkerbell on Saturday, and then Mario and Luigi on Sunday. And then we came home on Monday, but we didn't get to rest because we basically had to come home, drop everything, and then turn around and go to our child's, like, dress rehearsal concert because they're going to, like, California this weekend for, like, a choir competition. So, we're tired. We're tired.
We're very tired. See, that's why I don't have children. I don't even have drag children. It's too much.
Man, I love the kids. I do. But I was like, why on Monday? Why? But it'll be fun. They did a good job. It's a good bunch of kids for the most part. The only choir that is a little bit sketchy is one that our kid is not involved in. So I can say that they're a little bit sketchy. It's weird, but it's fine. It's fine. It's all good. So yeah, it's been a busy few days, and then you have like. You deal with the con drop and, you know, and all that good shit. And, you know, it's so, yeah, it was fun. So this evening for just the tip, I figured since we have Rita on, this would be a really good, opportunity, for a trans takeover. Sorry, Felicia. And so, on today's trans agenda, I would like to talk a little bit about trans appreciation versus trans fetishization
and tokenization.
Because there is a difference between those three things, and I figured, who better to talk about it than two trans people that will obviously speak for all trans people because that's how this works.
Yes. Correct. We are pillars. Yes. Two complete pillars, and no one else exists.
No. Nobody can argue with us. That's what we say is just...
That's it.
Gospel. That's it.
Trans law.
That's it. That's how it is. So, between the three, like, so the way I see it, anyway, and you can please chime in and argue with me if you need to. So, the way I see it, appreciation is, like for me... I am pansexual because I can be attracted to all gender identities and expressions. Gender for me isn't like a thing. So I don't look at a person and go, oh, I like them because they're trans, or no, I don't like them because they're trans. I'm open to connections with anybody regardless of whatever. Don't care. Don't give a fuck. Fetishization.
I practiced it all day, and I still feel like the fish from Finding Nemo. I'm like, anemone.
Seriously, it is the worst fucking word. Jesus. So, for me, fetish. This is going to be the entire show. Fetishization is being on Grindr and looking for only trans people, but then saying I'm straight otherwise.
Yeah.
Because that has happened. I have screenshots of that happening. That is not okay. And then like tokenization would be like, well, you know, I'm a gay dude, but I'll totally fuck that trans guy over there.
That would agree. Like for the most part, like for me, like, The things that I always tell people is like how I differentiate the three is that like appreciation is like seeing me for how I am and appreciating my talents, my beauty, whatever, my passions as they are without inserting my transness into it and just appreciating the person behind all of it and the fact that that person is trans and you can appreciate that without having any further discourse amongst
yourself.
You mean
being trans isn't your whole like personality?
Right, exactly. Like you can just see the person as they are versus like being a fetish because I'm gonna just get around that word altogether. But like just being a fetish just feels like you said, like you're being sought out for that one thing and the moment you can no longer offer that thing anymore, that person doesn't want you. And for example, like they'll be with someone for many years And then the moment they want gender-affirming surgery, that person has now found and because of whatever financial incentive this person may provide, that are giving up that part of their
right.
their journey, versus being a token. And right. I see this more yeah. in the drag spaces. Like, I see this so often where it's like, I'm starting a new show. I have to have, you know, a Black person, a Latin girl, and this, that, and the third. And I also have to include a trans person. And like, they don't want that person because
you have the checklist. You have the checklist.
Correct.
Of, yeah, you know, like, oh, you must have one of these. Yes. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Same goes
and
for
then,
like,
you know,
like, I see a lot of like LGBTQ plus boards for various organizations and
yeah.
things. And having one trans person on an LGBTQ plus board is tokenizing, you know, and that's, I mean, any group, any board, any whatever that's geared towards inclusivity, you know, it's the same can be said. If you only have like one BIPOC person, one trans person, one insert marginalized community here, like, no, that's not gonna work. And
especially if you're not listening to those voices, because a lot of the times they'll put the person in the room to say that they're in the room, but they're not going
right.
to listen to their ideas. They're not going to listen to the things that affect them on the day to day. They're not going to actually listen to the things that person can contribute to a larger conversation. It's just that the greater public can say, look, hey, the Venn diagrams hit. We're a progressive, inclusive organization.
Right. And that was one of the things when MCSO rolled out their policies on like handling and dealing with like LGBTQ plus and specifically trans like inmates and, you know, during intake and arrests and things like that. Myself and Teddy Michael were at their whole like basically press conference thing when they unrolled this, and we were looking at the board and we were like, so where are the trans people on this board? Like these policies are geared specifically for trans people. Where are all the trans people on the board?
Exactly.
And they were like, yeah, like that's not, no, like if you're going to discuss things that have anything to do with marginalized communities, minorities, anything like that, you need to make sure that there are plenty of representation in that group and in the room when that is happening. And that doesn't mean that you have, you know, six cis white dudes and then one trans person.
Well, and then the other thing that I find to be very common is even in like trans-led spaces, there is a very, and I'm trying to like navigate this one particularly super gentle, there's a very rigid view of the proper way to be trans, the correct way to be trans, the respectable way to be trans, you know, and it really boils down to, especially when you really look at a lot of these spaces, there is a major cultural difference between like white trans people and, for example, indigenous trans people that don't necessarily
right.
even identify as trans. They might be two-spirit, or even like the non-binary people that are pursuing a medical transition, but they don't view that as trying hard enough. So it's like there is representation without intersectionality, which then leads to a whole nother set of issues, which is why like being the one token trans person doesn't always work out, because if you're the only trans voice in the room, ultimately that organization is led by your set of morals and ethics and not what is going to benefit all trans people. It's what would benefit you if you were in that situation.
Right. And then you bring in the whole ingrained misogyny, and people seem to think that the only trans voices that matter are AMAB trans individuals, usually trans women, because we just fuck the trans men. Like,
you hear
that's
so much
why
of like they don't experience violence, or they don't have the
right.
same rate of this, that, and the third. And like you say that, and then like pardon my French, 2 fucking weeks ago, you have the next Benedict situation. And it's like,
yep.
how can you say that? You know what I mean? Like, you're right. Not necessarily, that's what I mean by like, you're more interested in policy and changing things that will benefit you if you were in that situation versus like a wider trans spectrum or all trans people.
It's like there, and it's across the board, you know, whether you're talking about like, you know, policy changes or like, you know, inclusivity changes within, you know, different organizations or businesses or companies. And then you have the whole like, God, when you throw in like dating and shit, Jesus fucking Christ.
Oh, personal. That and then just the like, whole personal preference conversation then starts to come about, and then it just gets really... The gray area becomes really, really like when a pencil smudges your hand, it gets really, really murky.
Oh God, it's
really
awful.
Fast.
And like, so I don't, and obviously every trans person has different opinions, different experiences, yeah. You know, whatever. So for me, when it comes to like dating or potentially dating, or I say that as a poly person that never leaves my house, but like, a lot of times, like, you know, you're chatting with someone and you know, they see you're trans or whatever, and they're like, oh, but I don't have any experience with trans people, you know, as far as, you know, getting down and dirty. And it's like, look, if being with a trans person was high on my list of like things to look for in a partner, I'd never have anybody. Because the fact of the matter is, there are more people who have not been with a trans person than there are who have. So like, as long as they're not weird about it, because it's like, I, you know, I've never been with a trans person, but I don't really care. Like, it doesn't, because so fun fact, I can't hold that against them because I have never been with a trans person.
See, and
not because
me,
I like avoid it. It's just never happened. Like, I just,
So with me, it's like, it's interesting. I've dated other trans people, but for the most part, my experience with people seeking out trans people, I can't say like, oh, like it wasn't a dating scene. Like it really is like the reality is like being a former sex worker, part of that industry is, you know, navigating chasers or navigating trans amorous people. So it's like for many years, I kind of like a, it's like a secondary like skill of being in that industry is sort of finding the ways to have those conversations without obviously setting any like anything off or setting like compromising your safety ultimately. So it's one of those things where like I understand both, like I have understand both situations of like someone wanting to be trans amorous and not necessarily having the societal support, and they outwardly say one thing but mean another. But then I've also had the opposite in like the dating scene actually, where it's like a non-transactional, and I've had people be more like a treat me more of like a fetish in those spaces than in the spaces that you would typically think. So it's very interesting what the reality is like of lived experience versus what most people would like think, you know?
Right. And like, you know, my partner says, or you don't seek them out, they're just the most authentic people you find, which I think in one sense is kind of why a lot of people, I think, are attracted to trans people. They may not be able to like necessarily like identify it, but you know, folks are often drawn to authenticity. And when it comes to being authentic, if you know, especially the trans folks that are very out and vocal about it, like we've worked very hard to live authentically. We have worked very hard to be our authentic selves. And I think that in itself is very attractive to a lot of people, just because we are about as authentic as you can get. I mean, it doesn't mean that we can be any less of a, you know, douche canoe. You know, being trans does not mean that you are exempt from being a dickhead, because we all know that that's not fucking true. But I think that authenticity is attractive to a lot of people, even if they can't necessarily pinpoint what that is. You know what I mean? So Laura asks, is a trans lesbian a thing? Abso-fucking-lutely. Because trans women are women, and if a trans woman is attracted to another woman, regardless of whether that woman is cisgender or trans, then they could very well consider themselves a lesbian if that's all they're attracted to. If they're attracted to, you know, men and masculine people, they, you know, if you can be trans and be anywhere on that sexual identity. You could be bisexual, you could be pansexual, you could be heterosexual, you could be a lesbian, you could be gay, you can be all the things, because it being trans does not negate your sexual preferences.
Correct. And that's my thing, is that you'll also see in many cases
oh, you're skipping your connection.
It's very interesting because it's a very case by case. No, sorry about that. But it's like, it's very interesting when you have like a T for T or trans for trans couple. Sorry, the.
You're skipping again. Couples. Tell your partner to get off the internet.
Interesting.
Oh, no. And see, now you're going down to 7 out of 10. Oh, no. And you're frozen.
But pretty much, like, if there's...
Yeah. And, you know, people who have done hard work to be authentic is attractive, because it is fucking hard and admirable. But, again, let's... So, going back to, like, the dating scene, it's like, okay, so... Not having any sexual experience with a trans person, but you're like, yeah, sure, that's fine, whatever, I don't really care one way or the other. That's the trans appreciation, because you don't really care. Correct. You're like, I just like the person, doesn't matter. Not having any sexual experience with a trans person, but wanting to try it, that's the fetishizing, like, crap. That we're not ice cream. Like, we're not,
right.
You know,
that's exactly it, is that, like, that's the best way of putting it, is that we're not ice cream. We are no different, like, no different or no less than any other flavor of ice cream. Like, vanilla is vanilla is vanilla, you know what I mean? So it's like, why are, you know what I mean? Like, there might be, like, French vanilla or Madagascar vanilla or, like, sugar-free vanilla, but it's all vanilla. So, like, why are you so curious about this? It's going to be exactly what you think. I completely understand what you say.
Like, trying us, that is like that. And I can't, oh my God, I can't tell you how many times somebody was like, oh no, I'm down to try it. No, thank you. I am not like a special flavor. I'm not like the new Oreos or whatever the fuck. Like, no, we're not going to try it. That is not a thing. Thank you so much. Bye-bye now. And then you have like, you have these people that like, have you ever come across a person that has like they're trans like exception to the rule? Like, it's like the whole like, oh yeah, no, I'm not attracted to that at all. But that one right there, that one I would do things with. It's like,
I hear it all the time. Like, being a trans woman that isn't necessarily like, as we call, surged up, or isn't, you know, doesn't have top surgery, isn't like. I hear it so often about my sisters and people, like, without naming names, I don't want to, like, violate, you know, them.
Right,
but,
right,
like,
right, right.
I hear it so often, especially in drag spaces with, like, that one straight couple where it's, like, for her whatever fucking husband, and for whatever reason, he just feels the need to be like, why? One right there. Oof, you couldn't even tell she's there.
Right. It's like, and then we get into microaggressions. Like, that is not a I hate that shit. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That shit so much. That
it really isn't. It really isn't. Like, walking up to,
it's not the compliment you think it is.
It really isn't, because you just fundamentally have said, like, hey, I looked at you. And for a second, I couldn't tell, but now I can. And but you know, people just sometimes don't want, and especially in a lot of spaces, don't want to talk about their transness. I feel like that's something that, like, the moment people know that you're trans, feel like it's open season on talking about your journey, what you want, what you don't want, how your parents accepted it. And it's like, you know, we were having happy hour as friends like 10 minutes ago. What happened to that?
It's like, it's like that meme that floats around every so often. And it's like, you know, cishet person. Oh, you're trans? Me? Yes. Can I ask you a personal question?
And you already know. Like, exactly. You would never ask anyone else, like, can I ask you a personal question?
So and like, the one thing that, like, when I do the presentations and the workshops and stuff like that, one thing that we try to kind of push home is that, yes, we're trans, but we are, if you take that away, there's still so much more to me. I am a fucking nerd who likes to cosplay, which has nothing to do with me being trans.
Exactly. Like verbatim same. And that's exactly it. I feel like instead of talking about my gender identity journey, like why not talk about like maybe the performances you just saw, like talk about, you know, the cosplays or the shows that I watch, the things I like to do here in Phoenix, like what's my experience like?
Literally anything.
There's anything.
Literally anything. There's a world of shit to talk about that doesn't involve what is in my pants.
Verbatim. But, or like in my case, like what surgeries I want, because I get that one and it's like, why do I need to tell you, and why do I need to have surgery in the first place for you to feel
right?
Like, it's just, like, it's a lot to unpack, and it's, like, we're at the club, I just did, you know, like, a Moulin Rouge number, I'm here in my bra and panty trying to, like, choke down some water, and now I'm unpacking my hormone regimen to a stranger. It's crazy.
That shit always blows my mind. Like, I'm like, why? I've never understood it. I've never understood it. I will never understand it. That just, I don't get it. But here's the thing, folks. You can appreciate trans individuals for things that include our transness, but is not limited to our transness. Exactly. Like, appreciate the transness because it is the authentic, it is the authenticity, it is the journey that we have had to do and go on to be able to get to where we are. But it's not all of who we are. And like, if you see somebody or you hear somebody that you can tell is totally fetishizing trans people, speak up and be like, yo, that's not okay. Like, yeah. See, and that's the thing is that Laura says, you know, I've always been open to those who have questions, and I like to think I ask more questions, be more woke and more supportive, old white lesbian. So is the thing is that I have the privilege to be able to be more open about my transition. Not everybody is able to be open about their trans status and their transition and all this stuff. I recognize the privilege that I have in this, and I like to use that privilege as much as possible when it's done respectfully to help educate, because not everybody can, but somebody needs to. Like, that education needs to be there. And if somebody else can't do it, but I can, then I will, because it needs to be done. And as long as it's done respectfully, if you have questions, generally I will answer. If they start getting sketchy, I will shut you down.
Yeah. And I think that most trans people kind of operate on a very, of like wanting to help the community, right? On that, like, hey, I'm willing to, you know, give you an entry. And stuff. We just don't want to like get personal.
Right. Like, we can answer things on a general, you know, it doesn't have to be like, we don't have to get all down in the weird nitty gritty. All right. Let's see. Right. What have we
it's
got?
Like, if you wouldn't. Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. News, current events, which are all shitty. Yay! Although this is interesting. So, federal regulators finalized a rule that actually caps most credit card late fees at $8 as part of a push by the Biden administration to eliminate junk fees. So, with the larger credit card companies, if they have more than, I think it's 1 million customers, they are not allowed to charge you more than $8 for late fees, which is down from like upwards of 32, I think used to be the norm. So it's still not great, but whatever. I guess I'll take what I can get. I don't know.
Incremental progress. Yay.
Right. Yay. politics is a shit show, because of course it is.
Why wouldn't it be?
Man, the Supreme Court is giving Trump the thumbs up to be on the ballot in November. Huzzah. And with Nikki Haley suspending her campaign, that basically means that Trump will be the Republican candidate. Fan-fucking-tastic. Can't wait. Super excited for this.
So excited. Yay.
Super
so
fucking excited for this. I don't understand how that's possible. He's literally got lawsuits out the ass. Like, he was literally a part of a fucking insurrection. But they're, like, they're ignoring the 14th Amendment. They're just, they're like, no, it's fine. Totally okay.
It's, like, so toothless. It's like, you are like, we're going to leave it up to the states. But it's like, if it's a federal election, why wouldn't it be federal?
They've actually basically said now that the states, because it's he's back on the ballot in Colorado when Colorado said nope. But now they can't make up their fucking minds when it comes to states' rights. Because
yeah.
On the one hand, they're like, no, you want to discriminate against trans people, that's fine. You can decide that by yourself up with the states. That's states' rights. You can do that. But now all of a sudden they're like, no states' rights. No, make up your fucking mind. Either we're going to do states' rights or we're not going to do states' rights. But again, just remember that the last time we did states' rights, it did not end well for some of you people. You think, yeah, I don't know, you keep flying the flag, but you didn't win, you lost a lot. So, yeah. Super excited for that. Please fucking register to fucking vote. Please fucking register to vote. This November is going to be absolutely fucking key. We cannot get Trump back into office. I cannot stress this enough. I am not a fan of Biden right now. Not even a little bit. But for my own safety, I would rather have, and this is, this sounds terrible because it is purely selfish. And the other stuff that Biden is doing, I am not happy with. I'm not. But on a purely selfish level, for my own safety and for my loved ones' safeties who are within the LGBT community, we cannot have Trump back in office. We can't.
I agree. It's like, it's not the time to split hairs.
No. Like, this is, it's and the system is broken. We should not have this two-party bullshit. Like, it's fucking dumb. All of it is fucking dumb. But putting Trump back in office is going to fuck this country so hard.
Yeah.
So hard.
And that's what I tell people, is that, like, if you want to split hairs, the time for that is in your local elections, your state elections. You know what I mean? Exercise democracy at every level, and you should start seeing more of what you want in your elected representatives at a local level. And once you start making those changes at a local level, it's really much easier to pressure people at a federal level.
Yep. And like Shannon said, not voting is a vote for Trump. That's exactly what it is, because his fucking supporters, who are fine with storming the Capitol, who are fine with taking away everybody's civil liberties and civil rights, they will be voting.
Absolutely.
100% they will be voting, because they want their fucking Fuhrer back in office. They want that regime back, and we cannot have that. And
yeah.
Voting third party is a vote for Trump. At this point, abso-fucking-lutely it is.
Yeah.
And again, I will say this again, Biden is not the best person for the job. To say I am disappointed with what is going on is an understatement, like a massive, colossal understatement. I am so disappointed in both Biden and Harris, and the fact that I'm disappointed across the board. I am disappointed, but I would rather be, and this is fucking terrible. I would rather be disappointed than scared for my life. And if we get,
it doesn't sound
office,
terrible. It sounds realistic.
Like,
and that's the thing, is that like most people, even the people voting for him within our community, he represents a very small subset of people in this country. It's the cis, white, rich people. So it's like, once you start getting rid of a lot of these policies that are for, you know, like Black and Brown people once you really start breaking down these, you know, diversity policies, once you really start taking away women's rights, what's left but white queers? So it's like it's a ticking time bomb realistically for everyone, which is like why a lot of watchdog groups and a lot of marginalized groups have been talking about this since 2016. So the fact that it's 2024 and right. We still, even within the LGBT community, have people that are like, Republicans aren't bad. They just want to save money. And it's like, okay, then if they just want to save money, why have the past 4 years without Trump? They've still pushed forward all this anti-trans, anti-everyone agenda. So it's like, it's no longer the time to split hairs. We have just got to do what we need to do. And at that point, we need to elect people on a local level that also represent what we want to see in a federal spot.
Speaking of electing people on a local level, ding dong, the bitch is fucking dead. Kyrsten Sinema has bowed out of running for re-election. Thank fucking God. God, I hate her so much. She can go fuck herself and go sit on a giant fucking saguaro for all I care. She has made a complete fucking mockery of the entire institution. I'm so glad. I almost wish that she was running for re-election, though, so that she could just lose terribly.
To lose all that corporate money she's gained at a vineyard for the past however many years. I would love to see her squander it all on an election.
Oh my God.
I would love to see her waste it all.
This bitch. And I tell you, there is not one good thing that I can say about her. There is not nothing. And when she ran originally, everybody knew what she was like. And they're like, but she's bisexual. I don't care if she's fucking bisexual. She's a shit human.
And we get back to the like topic of tokenization. We tokenized her, thought that because she was bisexual, she was going to help us, and she fucked half.
I didn't fucking vote for her. I saw three. I was like, no, don't fucking vote for her. She's a fucking mess, and she's been a fucking mess. Being bisexual does not make you not a shitty person. Like,
exactly.
Ugh. And I swear to God, we need to get somebody in there that is not her. Like, can we get a fucking Democrat in there? Something, because Jesus fucking Christ, I cannot. But thank fucking God that she's finally done. Like, although, like I said, I almost wish that she was going to run because she would lose so badly, and it would make my little heart feel so good. So good. Ugh. Like, oh yeah, it's Ruben Gallego versus Carrie Lake. So for the love of fucking God, please do not vote for the psycho bitch, because she's legitimately psychotic. She's psychotic. Like, delusional, just fucking, let's get Ruben Gallego in there, please, because Jesus. Speaking of Congress stripped over $1 million in funding for an LGBTQ+ organization in Philadelphia after libs of TikTok called them out for hosting sex kink parties. So apparently there's an organization in Philadelphia that was going to get this, basically it was a federal grant that was going to expand their social services and things and whatnot. And apparently there have been BDSM parties that have been hosted at like their offices or whatever the fuck. And of course, libs of TikTok got back to Congress and Congress said, nope. Because we must control what consenting adults do.
That woman, like, legitimately, I just do not understand how I've heard people like, oh, I hacked a website and gave myself a year of Apple Music, and they were charged with, like, domestic, like, digital cyber terrorism. And this woman will literally incite SWAT teams and incite violence and incite people to, you know, like, unalive themselves, and she will incite all of this hatred, and she gets to be put on all these boards and wherever the fuck she's from, and then these people do one event that's sex positive and suddenly they're pedophiles. So it's like, there's like this big disbalance of how and when people choose to emphasize morality and ethics in this country that I think is like
morality.
Right, morality.
Speaking of morality, RuPaul's new online bookstore, which is called Alstora, has come under fire for carrying books by known anti-LGBTQ authors like Riley Gaines, Kirk Cameron, Robbie Starbuck, and other books that are published by right-wing conservative publishers Brave Books, as well as titles like A Parent's Guide to Preventing Homosexuality. Now, here's the thing. I don't think censoring books is a thing, but if you are supposed to be an organization that is supposed to be uplifting to LGBTQ plus kids and families, maybe it's not a good idea to have this bullshit in your store, you know, on like how to prevent homosexuality. Right. And Guido says deplatforming is not censorship, which is exactly it. We don't need to give these things more of a platform than they already fucking have. And Alstora actually partners with it's a little company called the Rainbow Book Bus. It travels around to different cities doing different story hours. So just as a heads up, probably not the best thing to support since they are like, oh, and Mein Kampf, apparently, Alstora has multiple versions, translations, all the things of Mein Kampf.
I think that like we hit the like when what Guido said like hits the nail on the head. Like just because you have a platform doesn't necessarily mean that you have to give everything else a platform within it. Because to me, it just ultimately, it doesn't sound like this venture for RuPaul is a way to uplift and spread like queer authors and to spread queer books. It feels like it is his way of saying, I really want to compete with Amazon. In what
it's,
way
I just want to make
that?
Money. It's, I just want to make money, which is all RuPaul is about. Hence the fucking fracking, which everybody seems to just ignore. We're just going to ignore the fact that RuPaul makes money from fracking. But
yeah,
we're just going to ignore all of that. And I'm sure that all of this will be ignored as well. And there'll be multiple. Well, it's not about RuPaul. It's about that. No, it is fucking RuPaul. If I had an online bookstore and I found out that they were platforming these books, holy shit, you'd better believe I'd be on that shit. I'd make sure that all of that is removed, and then I would be releasing, personally be releasing a statement that says this is not fucking okay. But
yeah,
why would anybody?
And that's the thing, is that like she, well, like, and it's bizarre to me because it's like, I really don't understand even like, and this is like me being a little tiny bit shady, but it's like, I wouldn't even consider RuPaul to have been an authority of someone that I'm like, she's a very well-read individual. So like the fact that like the fact that like, that's like a venture of her. She's like, I'm selling books and Mein Kampf is here. I was like, well, I could have probably told you as much, you know?
It's like, so. It's like she's trying to, I don't know. It's like RuPaul is trying to just jump on the whole like, drag story hour kind of like platform.
It feels
like
she's monetizing that platform, like earnestly,
but not
really
doing it well.
Like she's like, exactly, not doing it in
not
a safe way.
Doing it well, like you can't. Yeah. Oh my god, like it's just gross. I was like, are you serious? I mean, I'm, to be honest, I'm not entirely surprised because RuPaul is kind of a trash human. Sorry, just gonna put that out there. Don't care. Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't know why everybody's like, oh my god, she's so wonderful. I'm like, okay.
My thing is that like two things can be true with RuPaul. She can be the reason why drag currently is a multi-million-dollar industry because of the show. And we can also say that her ethics and her morals and her business practices are completely 1% bullshit. And she doesn't,
right.
Like, the show is great for the artist, but the whole Mama Ru persona, like, girl,
it's bullshit.
Like, girl,
it's
give it up. You know what I mean? I would rather you be an asshole for 12 episodes and be like, I'm your mother. Like, no, you're not.
Also, I'm going to throw this out there. I said this on Friday, but drag being a multi-million dollar a year industry, I would really like to see just one of those multi-million dollars. I don't need to see a lot of the multi-millions, just one of the million. Just 1 million of the multi-million. Just one.
Well, and it's like, like, take $1,000 booking fees and all of that. So it's crazy.
And bars will pay that for, like, a RuPaul girl, but won't pay their, like, cast members, you know, decently. It's like, here, we're going to shell out $1,500 to bring in this, like, boring, basic RuPaul girl. Oh, but here, here's $50 for three numbers. Thank you. It's like, no,
and
no.
Mind you, then they'll hit you with the, oh, here's $50, and if you don't sell two tables, we'll dock your pay. And it's like,
right. So
it's like, I mean, it gets crazy.
There's a reason why pretty much almost every gay bar in this country at this point now has a drag show probably twice a week.
At least. I would say.
At the least. Why? Because they know that drag brings in money. But do they share that wealth with the performers? No, of course not. Why would they? But that's a whole nother fucking story. That seems to be something.
We could do a whole episode on that. Mm. The whole drag industry could be an entire episode within itself.
Let me chat about that next week, because... in world news, and mind you, there's a lot of shit going on in the world right now. So I chose to go with something not that anybody else would see on, like, normal news, because I'm this guy. A mass grave of about 1,500 skeletons was found in the city center, mind you, of Nuremberg. It's actually thought to be a mass grave of plague victims. Now, apparently, and I'm a history buff. Like, I love history. I'm a history buff. So apparently Nuremberg actually has suffered plague outbreaks about every 10 years or so since about the 14th century. So about every 10 years they get hit with another plague.
What's going on? Right? Like, what hellmouth is underneath Nuremberg?
Right? I feel like this is like, somebody needs to check this shit out. I don't know. But since about the 14th century, about every 10 years, Nuremberg gets hit with a fucking plague. And
they don't
so
have
these
a,
are
like a mice and like pesticide person.
Like, right. I'm like, what are you doing here? Like, what the fuck, y'all? But apparently these are thought to be from the 1632 to 1633 epidemic. Is there a multiple other, there are specific graveyards that they have for plague victims. Like, they have, Nuremberg apparently is plagued with plague victims. Like, they're just like, yeah. Yeah. Like, why Nuremberg? Like, are you sitting
on
top of, like,
there?
What witch, like, back in, like, the 14th century decided to curse Nuremberg? Somebody done pissed somebody off.
And why stay? Like, it happens every 10 years. Go somewhere else.
Right? Like... Can you imagine? It's like, oh. Well, it's about that time, kids. So before this plague hits, I just want to let you know that I love you. I love your mom. So if any of you die this, you know, this next plague, you know, just remember that.
It is what it is. It's just the Nuremberg plague. Like
can you imagine just being like, all right, well, I'm 40, so I've lived through four different plagues. I wonder which one's going to hit me now. Like, it's just what the fuck? And of course, Guido says that... the first account by an executioner was a guy who worked at Nuremberg and executed like 500 people. Why is Nuremberg so, who would have thought Nuremberg was so, like, it's fascinating.
Drenched in history, to say the least.
I knew the fact about the executioner. The book is really interesting, but it's like, who knew that Nuremberg was, as your random fact for this evening. Let's see. Next gigs. What have you got coming up?
So my next gigs, of course, for all of you who are in town, of course, this Sunday is going to be the Phoenix Pride Pageant. I am not competing. I'm supporting a contestant but it is an amazing, amazing organization, and the people that are crowned get to do amazing things for a year. So come out and support local drag. Even if you don't know anybody, make a lot of noise for us. And then, of course, I have Loteria next week. I'm there at Thunderbird Lounge with Ripple Phoenix as a member of their Loteria team. I am there every second Thursday of the month. So even if you can't make it to this one, please come and join me. I would love to see you any other month. It would be my honor to call bingo or Loteria for you guys. And other than
I wish it wasn't on Thursdays. Thursdays are always a pain in the ass for us. Wednesdays and Thursdays, because we always have the kids, like, it's always... Because I keep wanting to go out. I've never been to Loteria. Never been to a Loteria. And I want to. I'm just going to have to do it.
Summer break.
I'm going to have to.
When summer break hits.
See, the problem is that when we have kids here, everybody expects to be fed, and I'm the one that feeds them.
That makes sense. That makes sense. That checks out for you. I would trust you to cook for me. Yeah.
I'm a pretty good cook. I think a lot of people have tried my food. I'm like, oh man, my partner's like, just go. Wow.
Whoa. Wow. She said, I've got this. Go play bingo.
But see, then if I go, then all I'm going to hear is, yeah, I had to fend for myself, or I had to make And so this is, I feel a bait and switch happening here.
You're like, this is a setup.
Let's see, this Friday at The Rock at 8 p.m. is the, like, Pride Royalty review show, where you've got the current Pride Royalty and then a whole gaggle of past Pride title holders are going to be coming out and doing a number. There's a bunch of us.
Like, more than a baker's dozen. It's quite a few.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's, like, 48, 12, there's probably, like, good 15 people, I think, performing. Yeah. But it should be a good show. There's, like, a whole... It'll be interesting. I don't know what I'm doing yet. It'll be fun. I'm probably just going to go out in jeans and a button-up. Just make it easy. Just the way I have to think about it. But it should be a good time. And then, like Rita said, the Pride pageant is on Sunday. I may or may not be in attendance there as well. Probably will be. Will be there. But yeah, come out and support. There's, like, I think 14 contestants, I think, competing. There's a lot. So
yeah,
come out and
drink
support
water.
Them,
support the people. It's gonna be a long pageant.
Oh. Lord. We are anything else that you want to tell the people, Rita? This is you have 3 minutes. Hit them.
All right. So this is for anyone out there, LGBT, who really wants to kind of improve their quality of life. I really, really highly recommend coming to see us at one of the Ripple Phoenix events. We, even if it's not Loteria, if it's Legends, Unleashed, or any of the bar stops, the team is really, really amazing. They provide sexual health services in a really affirming, safe space. So if you don't know your status, and you really want to know in a safe place, come see us. If you do know your status and you're unhappy with your care, come see us. If you are running low on condoms or lube and just are in a place where you can't afford them or just don't freaking feel like buying them, come see us. We really do try to provide as much as we can for as many communities. It does not matter if you have insurance. It does not matter what your legal status is. If you are undocumented, documented, we do not care or ask for any of that information. So I really do recommend seeing any of us, whether it's one of the Loteria hostesses or Gabriel, Jeremy, Jason, any one of the team. We've got your backs in a really, like, affirming, safe space. So that's the one plug I really wanted to have.
I can confirm that the folks over at Ripple are amazing. And their new office space is coming along nicely. They should be pretty much good to go.
Beautiful.
They're like, it is. They have busted their ass in that new space. It is at the corner of, is it 15th?
5th or something? 15th and something like that?
I think it's 15th and Indian School, 15th Avenue and Indian School.
It's right, like, literally right next door to Phoenix Cookie. So if you know where Phoenix Cookie is, that's where the new offices are.
Like, right. It's, like, in the same parking lot.
Yeah, they share a parking space. So,
And it is decent lube. It's not necessarily the best lube, but it's lube.
It'll get the job done, ladies. Right. Yeah.
It's not what I would personally recommend generally, but it's not terrible. And if you need lube and you can't afford lube, go get free lube. Because free lube, even if it's not great lube, is better than no lube.
Exactly.
And spit is not lube. Fuck's sake.
No, it is not. So that's kind of the only plug that I really have for you guys. Take care of yourselves and your healthcare. Even if it's not with Ripple and you guys see me out and about, come talk to me. I also have resources that I can provide. Taking care of yourself as a queer person is something that I learned the importance of very recently. So I just want to make sure that all of us in the community are taken care of so that we can all be here for a very, very long queer time.
Indeed. I'll second all of that. And of course, thank you to everyone who joined in on the conversation tonight. We appreciate you watching us here, watching on the replay, the folks that listen to the podcast after the fact. We're at about 15,000 downloads, which is kind of awesome. I'm not mad about that. So obviously somebody listens to us. It's probably just one person that has it on repeat. But thank you. We appreciate it.
Felicia, just repeating episodes.
Right. It's just Felicia that has it on repeat. It just goes and goes and goes. It's fine. Totally fine. We're all right with that. And of course, make sure that you follow Rita on all of the social media, all of the things. And we will catch everybody next week for your Wednesday night conversation. Hopefully Felicia will be back. If not, it's fine. You know what? I'm just going to do it my damn self.
He's like, whatever.
It'll be fine.
No, that's okay. It'll be okay.
And make sure to check back on the Patreon if you are following us on Patreon, because we will probably have an after show thing here. So, yeah, thank you so much. And we will see everybody next week.